that was great. We could all see you in your habits. Yeah, we could just visualize it. And thanks, Whoopi, for leading them. Today we just celebrated Moira's baptism. So I thought appropriate to share this one-liner that was in a church bulletin announcement. This afternoon there will be a meeting in the south and north ends of the church. Children will be baptized at both ends. I think we got the end right. Today we celebrated Moira's baptism, which her parents and grandparents, her whole family, promised to help her to follow in the ways of Jesus. And the choir just sang a great song from a Broadway musical sister act called I Will Follow Him. But it makes me wonder, if Jesus was on Facebook, just how many followers would he have? You think?
Lots.
I'm not sure if he'd be all that popular. Especially since I think Jesus is making it clear in this particular passage this morning that it's not always easy to follow. Both the ancient scripture, the ancient Hebrews, and Jesus make the point this morning that we are not at home. That this planet is strange and unfamiliar and alien. And Jesus feels like he has no place to lay his head here. That while foxes have holes and birds have their nests, humans really don't have a home here. We're on furlough. Jesus comes out of the Jewish tradition in which this enslaved people have never felt free. They were in bondage to the Egyptians, and now they're held captive by the Babylonians, who have taken the Hebrew nation into exile, and the Babylonians have destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. And so the Hebrew people are devastated because they've not only been defeated, but now their spiritual home, the one place they felt at home, God's temple, has been destroyed. And they feel like they are wandering aliens from another planet. And they wonder, how can we possibly sing God's song in a strange, foreign land? I don't know about you, but I think planet Earth can sometimes feel very foreign and alien and strange. It doesn't always feel like home to me, especially when we read or hear the news that we live in a very violent world. We see people beaten down living on the streets, while others live in mansions. The disparity between the rich and the poor is widening. It seems our priorities are very skewed. Some actors and actresses make millions of dollars pretending to play someone else in a story, or athletes who chase a ball or throw a ball or hit a puck make millions a year, while other people around the world live on less than a dollar a day. Don't you think that's weird? Last summer, I went and visited the tunnels of Moose Jaw while we were attending a friend's wedding and was horrified to discover how Canadians at the turn of the 1900s had treated Chinese immigrants who actually lived day in, day out, under the streets in abhorrent living conditions in these tunnels under the city, and suffered terrible hardships doing the town's laundry and working as virtual slaves, paying their freedom back, some for over 10 years, while trying to earn enough money to bring their wives and children to Canada for a supposed better life. Since the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, I look back now on the tragic irony that while I was in seminary, and we marched in the streets of Toronto in the late 1980s to protest apartheid in South Africa, in our own country, there were still Indigenous people attending residential schools. And we live in a world in which people can walk into a house of prayer and kill 50 members who are praying, including children. That's just insane. On planet Earth, people can be unbelievably disrespectful and cruel to one another. We seem to have lost our care for each other and for the planet. I remember last spring going to the Parksville town hall meetings about the supportive housing proposal and was absolutely appalled, as I know many of you were, by the disrespect of people toward the city council and disrespectful toward people who have no home and disrespectful toward one another. Our world is full of violence and power struggles and hunger and homelessness, and so was the world in which the Hebrews lived in exile in Babylonia and the world of Roman occupation in which Jesus lived. And so Jesus looked at all of that, and he calls us to follow him this morning and says to his followers, so what are you going to do about it? These are urgent problems that call for an urgent response. That's why Mark always says, and immediately the fishermen left and followed Jesus. And immediately the tax collector left and followed Jesus. And immediately these people don't. Jesus is saying we need to get our priorities straight. And he uses the image of the plow and how you cannot plow and sow seeds moving backwards, only forwards. Has anyone here ever plowed a field? In Zambia, with a plow and a horse? An oxen. Horse. And how easy is it? It's really hard. I watched my dad do it. A group of lawyers were doing a plowing match in Stratford, and they were all out there, and they were all over the place. It's really hard. I can't imagine then, Jesus is saying, you can't be plowing a straight furrow in which to plant good seeds that they'll grow if you're looking backwards. Right? It's impossible. And it's the same for followers. I can't imagine trying to do that. So what Jesus' point is, he tells the people who are thinking about following him and learning from him and following in his ways, he warns them, don't think about me, don't think about following me if you're just going to be looking backwards all the time. The past is already taken care of. The dead are taken care of. They're at home with God. You don't have to worry about them. Don't be concerned with that which no longer needs us. Let us be concerned with the future that needs taking care of. He calls them to attend to the urgent need of building the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, making earth more like home, the home that we remember deep inside, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, where there is love and laughter and deep respect for one another. That's the kind of community that Jesus is calling us toward and to build. A world community that focuses on genuinely caring for each other, of sharing more equitably with one another, and of daring to speak truth to one another and holding one another accountable for how we treat one another and how we treat the earth. An earth that feels more like heaven, more like home. Since August, our church council has been in the process of discerning how God is calling us to be in the world. We've been asking God for so many months, what is our purpose for being here in this place, in this time? How would Jesus have us follow? So I'd like members of the Learning Keepers and Writers to come forward and share with you now what mission statement we have heard called calling us to, and what we believe God is calling us to in this time and in this place and in our context. So we're going to share that with you now instead of after the service. Yay! No meeting after the service. Yay! So Lois, you're starting, right?
Good thing somebody knows what they're doing. As Jennifer said, in August, 6 months ago, we began this mission process. At the time, the learning keepers were asked to record all learnings as we journeyed through the process. So the learning keepers were myself, Jennifer, Jan Dumont, George Pearson, and Maureen Loudon, who had to step out because she was caring for Bob. At the same time, those agreed to be writers were given the task of writing the mission statement. And the writers were Lynn Pearson, Charlene Donnelly, Rick Roberts, and Margot Pearson. At some point in the process, I can't remember where, because the process was very intense, we simply became a team, doing both tasks, recording key learnings and pulling out themes for the mission statement. A whole team of other people were assigned other tasks. They went out and had conversations with community leaders, with businesses, with neighbors. Others went out and prayed in the community. A team listened to conversations in coffee shops and other public places, and others collected statistical data, and some led focus groups with the congregation, with staff, and with youth. There have been many meaningful conversations, both here in the church and out in the community. Those teams were asked to listen, reflect, and pray, gleaning the most important information, the golden nuggets from those conversations. Then all the information that was collected was reported three times by the task teams for the purpose of discernment. First to the learning keepers and writers, then to the council, and then to you, the congregation, on March 3rd. Through this intense process, the writers and the learning keepers have listened to the reporting of the task teams three times, and we have made countless pages of notes. So there has been a long process, a six-month process, an intense process of listening, reflecting, listening, and praying going on in this congregation. We have been trying to listen for what and to discern what the Spirit of God is saying. What is God calling the congregation of Knox to be, and what is God calling the congregation of Knox to do? What is our mission?
As Lois said, we did a lot of listening throughout this whole process, and we heard several topics over and over and over and over again, both from internal sources and also external sources. We heard about loneliness, relationships, isolations, including transportation, homelessness, polarization, divisions, lack of a caring in the wider community. Seniors are isolated, and youth have nothing to do. Need for connections and community. Need to serve as collaborators and facilitators for the wider community. Need to help reconcile divisions among people, within families, within the church, community, and the world. All this was sort of brought together last Sunday, where about 45 people came together and took about five optional mission statements, and through a lot of discussion over a long period of time, managed to get it down to two.
Out of those discussions and the seven groups, They fell into two categories, basically. The way in which we need to be, beacons of hope, healing, love and light, caring, spiritual, spirit-filled community, a gathering place, and things we needed to do, to serve, to love, to offer, to put, to heal, and to share.
Last Sunday, we heard that the language about the divine was important and needed to be included. There were some who needed spirit and some who needed God. We heard that healing was important, love and action was important, that connection was important, that serving each other, the community, and creation was important. We heard that many wanted to be a change in the changing world. We heard that hope was important. When we look deeply at the essence of the two statements we had after last Sunday, we saw that both shared in common the value being placed on community as central to who we are and what we are about. Caring community, specifically. A spirit-filled gathering place. And to serve each other, the community, and creation. And not limited just to Knox, but the wider community. And a sense of the community being concentric circles, getting wider and wider. God's mission for Knox was about community. But we needed to know what the action words were. What were the to-do statements? What were the building blocks of community? What can we do? Examining our 9 ministries, we decided to look at our ministry wheel and examine what the 9 ministries were up to, what we were already doing. We were already doing spiritual formation, learning, growing, maturing, praying, sharing our faith, healing and pastoral care, caring, healing, sharing stories, sharing healing, praying. Worship and the arts, inspiring, connecting, praying, singing, celebrating, reflecting, sharing music, sharing stories, and enriching.
Social justice and outreach, what do? Well, they do all these things: advocating, collaborating, challenging, caring, sharing, there it is again, reconciling, justice making, peacemaking, educating, and protecting the environment. Fun, family and friends, what do? They celebrate, they build relationships, they build community, they welcome, they're playful, we play. Sacred spaces, they care for our facility, our landscape. They protect us. They secure our buildings. They beautify our buildings. And they host. Stewardship and finance. Sustaining. Allocating. Supporting. Fundraising. Educating. Sharing our gifts. And resourcing. Communications. They're inviting. They're welcoming. Promoting, marketing, evangelizing, sharing good news about our church, publicizing all the happenings that we have at Knox, and of course, communicating. Ministry and personnel, caring, supporting, advocating, challenging, and sharing guidance.
The word discernment means to sift apart. So that's what we began to do, sifting apart, distilling, synthesizing. And 3 words came to us that we found compelling and resonated with all of us. And it was as if everything started to begin to fall into place because they reflected all of the ministries and the essence of all our conversations that we had heard from the community and from the church. Care, share, and dare. But we needed to test these words. So we asked ourselves, how do we care? What do we care for? So I ask you, what do we care for at Knox? What do we care about? Children, others, each other, people who are outside, the environment, the disadvantaged, the world, community, justice, care about justice. And then we looked at share. How do we share? What do we share? Food, hope, time, money, gifts, our building, love, music, our talents, healing, our skills, love of God, our music, our experiences, stories. And then we looked at how do we dare? What do we dare? How have we dared? We dare to be affirming.
Tina.
We dare to care for a homeless woman. We reach out.
Speak out.
We dare new ideas. We dare to forgive one another. We stepped up for manna.
We changed.
We dare to be open-minded.
Inclusive.
We dared to be inclusive. So all that came together, and in a matter of probably 3 or 4 minutes,
well, it was longer than 3 or 4 minutes.
It's longer than 3 or 4 minutes.
Anyway, this is where, if there is a drum, it would be appropriate to get a drum roll. No? Okay. Thank you. So the proposed mission statement, guided by the creative spirit of God, we strive to build community that cares, shares, and dares.
So to get to this, after the meeting on Sunday, we had the two statements, and the writers and keepers took those statements home to try and amalgamate the two into one. We worked for hours, and then met Monday morning with our ideas, and we just couldn't quite get it together. So, the working on those two statements, it became clear to me that we were guided. We were being guided as a community by the creative spirit of God. We were guided by the spirit, first of all, and then we added the words creative because the word creation was very important to a lot of people in the community. So we incorporated that. We were going to go with the spirit, but there were people who felt so deeply and so strongly about God being in this community that we incorporated the spirit of God. So guided by the creative spirit of God came first.
In striving to build community, we felt so strongly that to strive has the humility that we haven't quite arrived, but we're on the way. Community starts inward with God's creative spirit in each of us, then the community of Knox, the community of Oceanside, the community of Canada, the community of the planet, the community of the world.
And when cares, shares, and dares came to us, we realized, well, that rhymes. We can all remember that. And we can be that, and that we are already that, but that it was calling us forward in a new day. So on Tuesday, it was presented to council, and as one person pointed out, it's a statement that also challenges each of us individually to be more caring, to be more sharing, and daring in the ways we live out our lives and our faith on planet Earth. Because the world needs more caring. Our world needs more sharing, and it needs more daring. It needs more compassion, more inclusion, more joy, and more spirituality. So I invite you to turn to your neighbor just for a couple minutes and see, how does this mission resonate with you? What do you like? Does it work for you? Just turn to one another. Don't leave anybody out. Our value of inclusion. We also talked about how the whole thing is Trinitarian, which is important to many people. Guided by the creative, and spirit should be capitalized. That's the Holy Spirit. Guided by the creative spirit of God is one line. We strive to build community is another line, a purpose. And how we're going to do that, what kind of community, is another line. We also saw that in this very mission statement, we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We have God, the Creator, and we felt Jesus was in the caring, the sharing, and the daring. That's what he was all about. Okay. Yay. So we invite you to live with this new mission and test it out. And in June, at the annual general meeting, we will meet again and vote whether or not to formally adopt this mission. So in the meantime, individually and as a community, guided by the creative spirit of God, we strive to build community that cares, shares, and dares. May it be so. Amen.